This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to write and dreams about writing. Hi, I'm so happy. Today I have in the studio with me one of our local authors, Rita Moreau. Hi, Rita.
Hey, Patsy, how are you?
Okay, there she is smiling at me because she was just taping some new book buzzes because she's
always buzzing away.
She's always buzzing away. Does a wonderful job of reviewing books and then putting together a little snippet so that we can entice you to read a good book. So I got a whole bunch of new book buzzes coming up in the next few weeks, and I want to thank you so much, Rita, for coming in today.
Well, thank you. It's a lot of fun.
Well, it is wonderful to have you here, and we are, of course, in the studio here at Tantalk Radio in glorious Clearwater, Florida. The perfect place for writers to write and readers to read a good book. And it is fall.
Finally,
after I think starting in April, we had every day was over 90 degrees.
Yes.
And then suddenly we have this little bit of fall. It's not going to last.
It's not.
No.
Oh, no.
No. It's not.
Well, it's nice.
It's nice.
It's a nice break.
It's a reminder of our lives. Come from up north?
I came from Ohio.
Ohio, and I'm from, of course, northern Michigan.
Well,
so it's like, wow.
It's like you get up in the morning and you're like, ooh, it's nice.
Yeah, it is a special feeling that, when northerners get when fall comes. Of course, it has really hit them up there. My son, who's in Madison, Wisconsin, and my brother, who is up there in Pelkey, Michigan, they're going to have snow.
Ooh.
Well, of course, quite often when I was a child, our Halloween was through the snow. I mean, we had to walk through the snow. So it's not unusual to have snow for us in October.
Yeah. I do remember catching the bus because we took the bus back then going through the snow.
Exactly.
Walking to school, going through the snow with my galoshes on.
I couldn't go through that anymore.
I couldn't either.
No,
I mean, it's all I can do to go up and visit.
We like a few days of cool weather, but that's enough.
Yes, yes.
Enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So we actually don't complain too much about 90. Well, Hurricane Irma, and we didn't have electricity. And in my case, I didn't have it for over a week. A little bit, but when you think about all the people who settled this country and they had so we can't complain. Speaking of people who settled this country, at the bottom of the hour, my guest is Adriana Mather. And Adriana comes from a family 12 generations in the United States. And well, they were here before it was the United States. They were here before the Revolutionary War. And her family lived through the Salem witch trials.
Ooh.
Yes. And they have lots of stories. And as a result, Adriana has been inspired, and she has written some wonderful books. Her first book was sort of a runaway bestseller, and now her new book, which just came out, is called Haunting the Deep, and it's very, very nice. It's a ghost story set on the Titanic.
Sounds very interesting.
It is, and I'm looking forward to talking to her. She's an actress also. She has her own Wikipedia page for all the things she does, and she's delightful. So we're going to talk to her at the bottom of the hour. But first I want to talk about, of course, Rita, you have three books out, right?
I do.
And
I do.
Feisty Nuns is one of my favorite books.
Well, thank you.
And the other two are?
The other two are Bribing St. Anthony and Nuns, Psychics, and Gypsies, Oh No.
Oh, no. But none of these are Audible books yet.
No. It's on my list.
It's on my list. That big to-do list that all writers have.
Audible books are becoming a big part of the market from what I've read.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, one of our local authors, Johnny Clark, His Audible book came out today, and I'm so happy to promote his book. We have a little promo for the book, and we're going to play that first, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Johnny. Okay.
From the author of gut-wrenching novels Guns Up and Gunner's Glory, now a gut-wrenching comedy, Section 8. One fan writes, Section 8 is inspired insanity. Johnny Clark should receive the Pulitzer Prize and his commitment papers in the same ceremony. You will laugh till it hurts. Section 8, it's 1946, and President Harry Truman has two goals in life, dump the U.S. Marine Corps and get reelected. Can he convince Congress that the Marine Corps is obsolete? He'll try, but first he wants to use them one last time. There's something he needs them to do, a little mission to China to steal something that one of his contributors need. It's dangerous, but who cares? Marines are expendable, or so he thinks. What could possibly go wrong? A lawsuit by the Vatican? An attempted assassination by a dead assassin? Flamethrower sermons? If that's not enough, there's a missing A-bomb. This book has it all. Even a love story. Remember, Section 8 is only a temporary state. You hope. Written by a true American hero. You'll love this book. Now available on Amazon. So get it today. Section 8 by Johnny Clark. Semper Fi.
Well, you will really enjoy it. You know, there aren't, with your books, there are some laugh out loud moments. But with this book, Johnny Clark has written a book that really, you're laughing sometimes so hard that tears are coming down your cheeks because it is hilarious. And the funny thing is, it is based on a true story. I mean, Harry Truman really wanted to get rid of the Marines.
I think people know that.
Nobody knows that. Yeah. It's sort of like, what's this new series about the Vietnam War? And they have LBJ in their, you know, talking about Vietnam. And very few people know that LBJ hated the Air Force. I mean, literally hated the Air Force. Hmm. And people don't talk about this. We sort of like, oh, well. And they get these weird ideas. And then Truman actually thought, he planned it. I mean, there was not going to be a Marine Corps. And so this book is so funny. And it's, you know, his other books, which are very exciting, military books, and Guns Up is, of course, an award-winning book. And Johnny is such a fascinating man, and his writing is so good. He's won quite a few awards. Of course, from the point of view of being an American hero, he won the Silver Star, which is a fantastic award. My father got the Silver Star for World War II, and of course Johnny was in the Vietnam War, and he also got 3 Purple Hearts, which,
wow,
you know, you don't really want Purple Hearts, but if you know, it shows something.
3 of them.
Exactly, to get 3 of them. And he is just an amazing writer, and I hope that you will get this Audible book. I have really discovered a real passion for Audible books lately. I tell you, during Hurricane Irma, it was so wonderful for me because I did have the Audible books downloaded so I could listen to them. I didn't just on battery, and they really helped to pass the time. There's no, you know, and they're just fun to listen to. And so I hope that people will get this one, and perhaps in the future you're going to have your books done.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah.
And it is a process. It can be done. You know, you have of course, very few people record their own. You don't want to.
No,
generally speaking,
no. I wouldn't want to record my own. No.
But you can find people, and you can get it up on Amazon, and they have a whole thing, and
they
explain it, and they help you to find people who want to record, professionals, and it is worth it because
it's become a big part of the market.
Oh, it is. It is.
Yeah,
and as you know, when you're selling books, the
marketing,
is marketing.
Yes, yes. It's one thing, you know, to write a book. I mean, that's an accomplishment in itself. I'm not patting myself on the back, but it was like, wow, look, I wrote this book. And then it's like, well, my job's not done. You, as a indie author, which I am, you do have to jump in and market your book. I mean, even the well-known authors, they also have to, you know, work hard at marketing also. And it's an ongoing thing. It's not just, okay, I'll do it this month. I've launched a book. I can relax and get back to writing. Nope, got to continue doing it.
That's true. Even the best-selling authors. They have a limited window of opportunity with their publisher. A publisher will say, okay, your book is coming out here, on usually on a Tuesday, by the way. Most big publishers release books on Tuesday.
Oh.
And then your book comes out, they arrange for a major author, they arrange for, you know, interviews, if you're lucky, on television, but very few writers actually get on television, mostly on radio, if you're lucky and you get on my program.
Joy
or,
on paper.
Exactly. Or there are, of course, quite a few internet podcast type of things that
yes.
people get on, which are nice. But and the larger publishing houses usually manage to get you a review or two in a major, you know, newspaper, magazine. But after that, and if they sponsor a tour, and there are certain cities that they put are on sort of the list of cities that they go to, and then after that, the major publisher is done with them. So it might be 4 to 6 weeks, and then they're done.
Yeah.
And so if the author doesn't themselves go out there after that and promote their book and do everything they can to get noticed, it's forgotten.
It is. And I know locally, some local authors that whose names are well known, they actually reach out to book clubs and visit with, you know, their grassroots. And I think that's something that even as an indie author, I try to do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there are some really wonderful groups that have book clubs around the country. So if you connect to one in your local area, for example, like the Hadassah Book Club, we have here in St. Petersburg, there's a Hadassah Book Club that has a meeting once a month in Congregation B'nai Israel in St. Petersburg. Well, that's a wonderful group, and they select a book to be read for that event. But they also can connect you to other Hadassah clubs around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, that's sort of getting that snowball rolling and building up the people who hear about your book. And if you can get there, and if you can, they love, of course, if an author personally appears. And this is a wonderful way to, you know, to get noticed. And you just have to look up book clubs. And again, as you said, it is up to the author to do the marketing.
It is. It really is. It sometimes can be overwhelming. I know when I wrote my first book about 5 years ago, it was a like an unknown territory. Nowadays, now that I'm up to almost my fourth book, I get a plethora of emails every day. There's a whole group of businesses out there that want to help you, or you can look to them for some help as for marketing. So there's a lot out there for the indie author.
There is, but again, you have to be careful. It's just like when you want to publish your, when you want to find an agent, you want a real agent. You do not
yes.
want an agent who charges you money. Just to make this really clear, authors out there, if ever you are looking for an agent, and an agent comes back and says, well, I would love to represent you for blankety-blank amount of money, you know that they're not real agents, because real agents, real literary agents, do not charge money.
That's true. And it's the same thing with reviews. Reviews are very, very important. You should not have any exchange of money when it comes to a review.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, it's different with a publicist. When you get a publicist, they charge you money, and you have to pay that
yes,
money.
Yes.
And this is where it is a sort of a very, it's a, like a minefield, really, in many ways.
It is.
Because you have to go through who actually can deliver on their promises. Who they a publicist might say, I can do this and this and this. But there are so many aspects to what needs to be done for an author. One of the things that, of course, you, as you know, social media is so important.
Yes, it's very important.
And some publicists will tell you that they will do social media, but you have to actually check up on them so that if they say, I'm the publicist for so-and-so. You actually have to check yourself. You have to go out there and say, I want to know, is their social media active? Is it really dynamic? Because it's not an easy thing to carry an ongoing running, you know, relationship with social media. It's a time-consuming
thing. It takes
a
lot of time. I mean, even you have to have a web page. You have to be involved in social media. You have to become familiar with social media. If you were someone like myself that wasn't all that familiar with social media. So it does take a lot of time. And most writers would like to just sit and write.
Right.
They don't want to get involved with all this other stuff. In fact, you know, it just doesn't work that way. It's a realization that after you write the book, the biggest job is marketing that book.
Exactly. Now, I've worked with some wonderful publicists who bring me wonderful authors. And this is something that every author has to check out for themselves. They have to really do their own homework to make sure that they're not wasting their money, because
it
adds up very quickly.
It does. It really does.
Now, I know one of the things, talking about ads, one of the things you have done, you have used Amazon ads to promote your books. Now, you didn't need a publicist for that. You could just do that yourself.
You could do that yourself. There is a learning curve, but you can go to Amazon, and I have found that Amazon ads have been very helpful. You could do also a Facebook ad, but then the people you capture on Facebook have to make the jump over to Amazon. So an Amazon ad is something that has been very helpful for myself as an indie author. But it's an ongoing thing. You have to continue to work with it every day.
And that is one of the problems. Between Amazon, Facebook, Twitter... Then there are those people who do Instagram, which defies.
There's a bunch of others.
I know, but it is very popular.
Yes. Yes.
But there are so many things that you do have to know, and of course, it helps. As you said, you're an indie author. It does help if you have an agent who's been in the business, who knows a lot of the ins and outs of things. And I want to recommend to everyone who has a young adult book ready to go that 2 weeks ago I had on the program Regina Brooks. Now, she is a fantastic literary agent in New York City. And, of course, you know, she has been working now for, I think, about 17 years to get to her point and... in the business, and she is now ranked in one of the top 25 agencies, which is really important.
Yes.
Because that means she has connections to publishers. She is able to pick up the phone and reach a publisher. When she has a book that she likes, she can pick up the phone, and she doesn't have to go through a lot of nonsense.
They'll answer her call.
Exactly. And of the children's author, literary agents that I know, probably for picture books, for younger age books, the best literary agent is Andrea Brown. And she is in San Francisco. And she is in charge of the Big Sur Workshop, which is the best place for a picture book or a young, very young age book author to be in contact with. And that's Andrea Brown. And she's like one of the few agents who is so important that she could move out of New York.
Hmm.
You know, because most agents have to stay there because they have to keep this ongoing relationship with the publisher. You can't miss it. You can't lose it. And, of course, a lot of that has to do with schmoozing and going out, you know, knowing them and being able to pick up that phone.
Being at the right place.
Now, Andrea Brown is one of those. But for young adult fiction, Regina Brooks is really fantastic. She has a great reputation, and this year it's her 8th annual YA Discovery Contest. And what is great about this, the subtitle is No Query, No Pitch, No Problem. Because, as you know, query letters are not fun.
No. Synopsis, query letters.
All of that. It can drive you crazy.
It's different from writing.
It's different. Mm-hmm. It is different. And you put so much into a query letter.
And it's short.
It's short.
And it's so important.
It's so important. That expression, sweating bullets, I think really applies to writing a query letter. And so the nice thing about Regina's contest is that you can just send in the first 250 words.
Wow.
And
wow.
The truth is, if a book is really good, it can capture you in 250 words. It's amazing. It's in a way, it reminds me of this book that I'm going to be talking about today at the bottom of the hour, Haunting the Deep by Adriana Mather. Yes, in 250, I'm reading one paragraph and I'm saying, okay, I like this book. I'm going to like this
book. You know, that's true. When I walk into a bookstore, I look at the book cover and then I will look at the first couple of pages and I do know right away.
And you just do. You have that feeling. And this is the wonderful thing about Regina. She wants to give everybody an opportunity. It's only $15 to enter this contest.
Wow.
I mean, that's so reasonable because she and her people will go through it, and the top 20 that they select are then read by some more famous readers in the business. And then they sort of get together and pick the top five who are then get lots of wonderful opportunities to meet with agents.
That's fabulous.
You know, for $15, you can't go wrong, and I highly recommend it. And Regina's website is Serendipity Lit, serendipitylit.com. And for $15, it's worth it. It's just, the funny thing about it, immediately when you're going to enter this contest, you'll look at those first 250 words and you'll say, are they as good as they can be? So even if that little bit of challenge, mm-hmm. makes you say, okay, I can fix this word. I can tweak 250
this.
Words. I can tweak this, mm-hmm. and then I'll send it in. Because that's what you want to do. You want to grab. These are experienced agents who really can tell from the first 250 words if a book is going to be mm-hmm. worth investing in. And As Barbara Poile says, it is the hook. You know, it's the book, the hook, and the cook. And so you have to have it all three right, just right. So I recommend that. It's serendipitylit.com. And it's all of November. Starts on November 1st through November 30th.
Young adult. Okay.
And so it gives you an opportunity during that month, fine-tune your first 250, and while you're at it, fine-tune the whole book.
It's a marvelous opportunity.
Because once she reads that first 250 and they want to see the rest, you will be ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that, as you know, you went the indie route.
I did.
Instead of trying to wait for an agent.
I did. I'm not getting any younger. To capture an agent, and even if you have an agent, it takes time for your book to make it to the shelves also with a publisher. So I thought, I'm going to go this way, and that's the way I've gone.
Okay, well, I'm going to take a commercial break, and then as soon as we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more, and then hopefully Adriana will be on the phone. Okay.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Support Joy on Paper and local authors. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code PATSY. P-A-T-Z-I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my guest in the studio, Rita Moreau, who is the author of 3 really funny, cozy mysteries. Hi, Rita.
Hey, Patsy. How are you?
Okay. Well, you know, it is. We've been talking here about your books, Feisty Nuns and the others. And, of course, tell us a little bit about the character in your books.
Well, I have a garden full of characters, and I don't know where they come from, but my main character, my protagonist, her name is Mary Catherine Mahoney, MC for short, and in my prior life, I was involved with numbers, and Mary Catherine is also, and she's also a little psychic, so she uses those two abilities to look for things, and people seek her out to find things or to find people. And in Feisty Nuns, and also in Oh No, she is sought out by a group of nuns. So it's been a lot of fun writing those books and becoming familiar with these characters, too.
Now, we were talking about promoting books, and you promote your books in a very funny way sometimes.
I do. I actually dress up as one of my characters, Sister Hildegard. And, you know, I was at an event, and I was dressed up like Sister Hildegard, and people came up to me and said, because nuns do not dress in habits for a long, long time. And they said, are you a nun? And I'm like, no, I'm not a nun. But yeah, I've had a lot of fun with that. I've had a lot of fun. And it's interesting to see children look at you, too. They're like, oh, my goodness. It's probably the same way I looked at nuns way back when I went to parochial school.
Well, it certainly draws attention to you.
It does.
When you're at a book fair or
it does.
Book event.
Yeah, and it was suggested at this recent book event. You know, I mentioned it, and they said, oh, definitely, definitely. You have to do something a little different to draw attention to yourself. And you can't be shy. Authors sometimes tend to be shy, introverted, and you really have to push past that.
And, you know, again, with all authors, try to come out with a little way to differentiate yourself from other authors.
Definitely.
And now, of course, you're basically a series. Your books are a series. And
yes.
That, you know, more and more, I think authors are realizing that one of the really great things about doing a series is that if you come out with a book, and it is in a series, somebody might read your 23rd book and then say, okay, I want to go back. I like that book. And go back and read the first book, which might have been in, you know, released 10 years earlier.
Yes.
So this is a way to get your books read again, because This is the problem of what I said, that you have this short window of opportunity. And if it's a one-off book, it comes and you might have a little splash, and then it's like, you know, a pebble in a pond. It makes a few ripples and then poom, it's gone.
That's true. And if you're a reader like myself, and I'm a slow reader, I devour. If I find an author I really enjoy, I devour their books. And for me, I like to go back to the very first one and work all the way through. So that's another thing, as far as from a writer point of view, you can't take a long time to get out your next book. You really have to be very focused. You have to sit yourself down in that chair and write. So for our well-known authors, once a year, sure, we're going to wait forever for their books. But for someone like myself, an independent author, you really have to stay focused and produce, write, you know?
And you're working on your fourth book?
I am. I am working on my fourth book. And my very first book, I actually started with a title, and then my editor suggested changing the title. And so I've learned that having the title before the book is not the way to go, at least not for my my mind. So I do, I've got my fourth book, and I do have a title, The Russian and Aunt Sophia, because you know Russians are hot right now.
Oh boy. Here, we're talking a little collusion. Okay. We didn't want to get into politics.
But they are a
little collusion here. And she's hoping to grab that audience of people who are sure that there's conspiracies all over the place. And there are apparently. And so somebody in your world is involved with Russians. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, Aunt Sophia, one of my characters.
Yeah, Aunt Sophia. And your characters are based a lot on your family, I think.
Well, they are.
Do they appreciate that? Well, actually, they're
based on not my immediate family, because I'm not so sure they would appreciate that, but they are based on, you know, I grew up in my grandparents on my mother's side were from Greece, and they truly are and were like the movie. The Big Fat Greek Wedding. And so that was the family I grew up in. And
oh, I love that movie.
I do, too. It's
one of those movies. I've seen it like half a dozen times.
Oh, my goodness.
And the remake was terrible. Just awful.
It was disappointing.
It was terrible. Yeah. It was terrible. Let's say the truth. It was terrible.
Yeah. But
because the first one was just delightful.
I'm laughing thinking about it.
I know. Yeah. Doesn't it?
And I like the father, I probably have 10 bottles of Windex. It does work for everything.
That's true.
You have a hip problem?
Now, speaking of that, that reminded me, and I had meant to mention this, the Writer's Digest is having a cinematic contest for stories that they feel, that you feel, would make a good movie.
Oh, my dream.
And the contest is open now. It's I think you have a week or 10 days more of this contest. And this is very interesting because you don't have to submit a whole book. You submit a short, like a
synopsis.
A little bit more storyline. There's an actual storyline of it. And this is a wonderful idea. I just thought about
this for you. I'm glad you told me that because that's my dream.
Your characters are
dream.
Funny. And as I said, with Johnny Clark, Section 8, I can tell you, if they would make a movie out of Section 8, it would be hilarious. Which, you know, as you know, I had three movies optioned in Hollywood. I wrote a movie for Debbie Reynolds, which was supposed to be filmed in October 2008.
And
as you remember, the crash. Mm-hmm. We crashed down like crazy here in Florida. We were going to do it at Fantasy of Flight at the beautiful airport there at Exit 44. And we had everything ready to go, and Debbie Reynolds, and it was going to be fantastic. Unfortunately, of course, all the people who were financing the film lost their... I mean, many of them were absolutely wiped out in that that event because they had, they were like with Lehman Brothers and those other ones, and they like, they collapsed completely.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a sad thing, but I do have an eye for a book that would be.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm definitely going to look into that.
Try that one.
I think that's every author's dream.
Exactly. And right now, I'm so happy I have on the phone Adriana Mather. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
How are you doing?
Oh, very well.
Okay. You're in California, right?
I am in California, yes.
Okay. Well, good morning. I hope you woke up early enough to have a cup of coffee. Or are you too young for coffee?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, believe me, I love coffee. I just caught a cold while I was on the East Coast traveling, and so I'm on tea right now.
Okay, well, you were promoting your new book, Haunting the Deep. Yes?
That is correct.
Oh, it is absolutely wonderful. First of all, I have to tell everyone that you are, in addition to being a best-selling author, number one, your book, your first book, How to Hang a Witch, was a number one bestseller. And now this second book, which is a continuation, it certainly doesn't disappoint your fans.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so kind of you.
Well, I know everyone, when after the first book, everyone said, oh, there has to be more. The character you developed is so wonderful. So tell us, I had already been talking about you earlier in the program, and I mentioned that you are have 12 generations of your family here in America, and about your connection with the Revolutionary War and the Salem Witch Trials and where you've got your inspiration. But tell us a little bit about your characters and about this new book.
Yes. Well, I was visiting my grandmother, and she has all this history in her house. And as you said, I have many generations and am related to people who lived in Sleepy Hollow and started the Salem Witch Trials. And so I was at her house, and I was going through some old letters, and I actually found an envelope that said Titanic on the front of it. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard that our relatives were on the Titanic or had anything to do with it before. So I was like, oh, what is this? And so I opened it up, and inside was a letter, and it was recounting how my relatives actually survived the Titanic with their dog, no less. And so that was the inspiration for this new book. I wanted to write another modern day mystery with all my characters, but this time to do it about the Titanic and have my protagonist see ghosts from the Titanic.
Well, it is. I love this book.
Thank you.
Have you ever been to one of the Titanic recreations where they have the whole part of the ship recreated?
Oh, yes. I've been to the one in Vegas. That's the closest one to where I live. And it was phenomenal.
It's so spooky when you do walk down that staircase. We had it here in Tampa. They set it up here at our museum. And it was a wonderful experience. And I had the joy to experience it with a, at the time I was involved with young people. And a young girl who wrote me a letter and said, I really want to see the Titanic. And she was part of a family in need. And so I got to share this experience with her. And it was just the thrill of it, how beautiful that place was. So I can see how it inspired you.
Yeah, it's the massiveness of the Titanic. I don't know if it, pardon me, struck you when you were on the ship, but it is so big. And at the exhibit I was actually on, there was part of the hull. I guess it travels around the country, and it's just some small piece of the side of the ship, but it is so amazingly huge that to picture that ship in the water with all of those people is mind-blowing. I mean, the more accounts that I read of the Titanic, it was so difficult because there were more than 2,000 passengers, and so many of them did not make it off the ship. And to think of a tragedy at that scale, that was probably the hardest part of writing the book.
Well, you do it very movingly. I think the sort of ghosts of the story are just so. When I was reading, I was just like, I almost had to catch my breath because I thought, well, you've really captured these people.
Oh, well, thanks. I tried to include as many real passengers as I could. It's hard in a narrative of fiction because you can only include so many people without confusing your readers. So it's very difficult to narrow it down, actually.
Well, tell us a little bit about the characters. About Samantha and about the other characters around her.
Oh, sure. Well, some of my favorite characters that I would love to talk about, if I told you who they were, it might spoil some of the surprises in the book. But I did try to choose. I have a few famous passengers, like Margaret Brown, who was an amazing woman. And I have a couple of the ones that you might recognize, like Bruce Ismay and so on. But then I have some that are less recognizable and were not recorded in history the same way. So one of the things that I found when I was doing my research is that there was a plethora of information about certain people, and other people, there was almost nothing. So I tried to include the people who had lesser known stories, a couple of them at least, as almost as an example of all of the people whose stories were untold, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I like Samantha. You really capture her. You know, for a book that's, I wouldn't say this is just a YA novel. I think anybody will enjoy this book. It's for all ages.
Oh, well, thanks. You know what? When I originally wrote my first book, I wrote it as an adult book. And then in my revisions, it wound up being a YA book before it got sold.
Yeah, that happens. But, you know, nowadays, I think there's such a crossover, which is great because, you know, it's just like adults who enjoyed Harry Potter just as much as the kids did. And so it's wonderful that, you know, I think you connect with all ages with this book.
Oh, well, thank you. That is what I strive to do, certainly.
Well, you certainly did. And now, of course, you're such an accomplished person with a, you know, you have a Wikipedia page and you're like, whoa, you're an actress, you're a producer, doing so much. It's fantastic at such a young age.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I fail a lot, too. I think that's part of it. I just keep thinking of new things that I want to try, and that's sort of how my world has expanded in the way that it has.
Well, you can't fail unless you try, and can't succeed unless you try. So, you know, you're doing something right. You learn from every experience, and you certainly, in the writing a book side, you're doing pretty well, I can tell you that.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, writing was one of those adventures for me that I didn't know I was going to be on, and I actually had broken my arm in Utah. I was snowboarding. And I broke it really badly, unfortunately, and I had to go home to my mom's for a couple of months. And while I was recovering, all of my projects had stopped, and everything I was working on had stopped. And so that was actually when I got the idea to write my first book, and I didn't know it was going to be a book. I thought it was going to be a screenplay. So I sat down and I wrote the first page and a half, and then I thought, oh, you know, I don't know my main character well enough. So I started writing long form. And once I got about, 10 pages in, I knew I had enough, but it was so fun that I just kept going. And once I was 100 pages in, I was like, okay, I'm definitely writing this book. And that's how it all started. I mean, but it wasn't that easy. I obviously had to learn story structure and all kinds of things. And after I wrote the entire book, I was told, oh, yeah, you know, you have a good voice, but your structure's wrong. So learn structure and do all these things and make these revisions and start back at the beginning and rewrite the whole book. And then you'll have something really great
wow.
here.
I have in the studio with me a fellow writer, Rita Moreau. Hi, say hi to Rita.
Hey, how are you?
Oh. So, hi there.
Hey. So Rita knows about rewriting.
I do. I'm totally. I'm preaching to the choir here. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
This was one of those where I really had to divorce my ego because
there was
no book left really if I wanted this book to be the book that I wanted it to be. So I got to keep my characters and maybe about 10 pages, and then I just needed to rewrite the entire thing.
Wow.
So
it's a lot of work. Yeah. A lot of work.
It was a lot that of work, was... but it worked out because she became a number one New York Times bestseller. Well,
yes.
and that's for How to Hang a Witch, which the wonderful thing about that book, you developed such a fan base. I know I read a lot of the reviews and a lot of the comments from people on that. And it's always wonderful when your fans want more, and they certainly wanted more from you after that first book.
Oh, well, yes, they get very enthusiastic, and I'm so grateful to them because, you know, I really can't write without my readers. So
exactly.
I feel very lucky.
And I have a feeling perhaps you're going to go back and do a screenplay for both of the books, because since you're so adventurous and you're ready to try everything and you're in California, you know, and I have a feeling that you'll end up writing screenplays for both of these.
Well, actually, the first one is optioned to be a TV show. Not by me.
Not by you.
I'm just not at liberty to give the details.
Okay. I read the first book and I said I saw it as a movie, because I was a screenwriter, and so when I read a book, I can tell if it's going to make a good movie or a TV show, and I knew that with the first book, and I really think the second book is going to be unbelievably great.
Oh, well, thank you. I do. My background is in film.
Yeah,
so
no.
When I write,
you think
I
that way.
Tend to write. Yeah, I think visually, and I tend to write shorter chapters, almost like scenes in a film.
Exactly.
So I hope that it translates well, but we shall see.
I have a feeling it's going to be good. And it's wonderful when you have developed a fan base who are enthusiastic and who are looking forward to seeing your work.
Oh, yeah. It really is such a joy, honestly. I love getting all of the comments. And, I mean, people are so sweet. And it constantly fills my heart, because I just think, like, nobody has to do this. And they do it because they want to, and it's just so nice.
Well, it is. When they write these lovely reviews about your books, and they mm-hmm. understand your characters, they know what you're trying to do, it really is a wonderful thing that readers can do for a writer, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very, very supportive and lovely. And they also tell me which characters are their favorites and what they want to see happen. So it's interesting. I get this whole insight into what people are most enjoying.
Well, I want to thank you so much. Now, do you have a website that you want people to go to?
I'm on social media. I'm on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
That's because.
As Adriana Mather.
Mather. And the book is called Haunting the Deep. And I saw that you dedicated it to your family, which is very touching. And it's they did a beautiful cover. They did a beautiful job of printing this book. It's really top quality, and it's really enjoyable to read. So,
thank you so much.
Everybody can go and get this book. It's Haunting the Deep. It's available at Barnes & Noble and wherever books are sold. And Adriana, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, she's a sweetheart. Oh, she's so pretty. I don't know. It's when she's like, she's an actress. And she's
very down to earth.
Oh, absolutely, isn't she? You know, she's just darling and talented. My goodness,
obviously.
But as she said, her first book, she had to rewrite it.
Well,
yeah. Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, and I want to thank you. And I'd be amiss if I didn't thank you for everything you do for authors. Well-known authors and not so well-known authors.
I truly
appreciate it.
I'm having fun. I'm living the life.
That's
okay?
Important.
That's it. And please buy MyPillow using my promo code PATZI. And remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. So Johnny Clark is really happy today and celebrating, and he deserves to because it's a really great book. And you can do it, too. All you have to do is sit down and write. It's going to be a beautiful weekend all over the country. Not too hot, just the right weather.
Perfect.
And sit down and start that book. And then in a few months, you can rewrite that book and then maybe rewrite it
and
again.
And then come talk to Patsy.
Exactly. And come on Joy on Paper. And meanwhile, make sure that you say something nice to somebody today. And I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. He's always so wonderful. And I'll say something nice to you because I really do appreciate, Rita, that you were in here today with me.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you,
and we're going to have a lot of book buzzes. She was really enthusiastic.
Going to be buzzing.
Buzzing away, and we look forward to that.
Thank you, Pam.
Okay, and meanwhile, you can like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and do all of that social media stuff because we all have to do it. I have to do it. You have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who has a suggestion on a book or an author that you want me to review, just email me. It's patsy.radio@gmail.com. And I will invite an author on for you. Okay. And that's it. Bye-bye. And Big Ed's going to salute me, and I'm going to salute him. And we're all having fun here. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.